It's been over 8 years since one of the largest losses of life from a fire in the UK. It should have been a moment of change, yet the same companies and the same system that caused it are not only still in operation, but are thriving. The issue of favouring profit and deregulation over fire safety isn't just limited to the UK. Over 50 tower block fires in countries all around the world involved the same type of external cladding that caused the Grenfell Tower fire. And as housing around the world comes into greater demand, the pressure to build quickly comes with that, which means the number of people living in tower blocks is only going to increase. Which is why I want to understand the complexities of the house building system and what lessons have been learned, if any, from the tragedies that have taken so many lives. Because as of today, the same companies, the same materials, and the same weak rules still shape the homes we live in. The public inquiry into the Grenfell Tower fire lasted 6 years. The conclusion was blunt, that the 72 deaths were avoidable. It's said they were the result of incompetence and dishonesty on the part of the companies involved, and decades of failure and complacency by successive governments. But to understand how we got to that point, we need to rewind and look at how successive governments put profit before safety. In 1997, the Labour government privatised the Building Research Establishment, the UK's public fire safety lab. Suddenly, companies could pay for their own product tests, essentially marking their own homework. Then, in 2005, new legislation required fire risk assessments to blocks of flats. That sounds good, but they only covered the common areas of buildings and could be carried out by people with no formal qualifications. So landlords often hired the cheapest option, not the most competent one. In 2009, the Lackenhall House fire killed 6 people. The coroner urged the government to review rules on external fire spread and evacuation. Ministers agree, but then do nothing. This really should have been the moment that prevented Grenfell. Through the 2000s, officials were warned Britain could become a dumping ground for unsafe materials if it didn't adopt tougher European standards. But industry lobbying won. Then, in 2010, came David Cameron's bonfire of red tape. The rule was 1 in, 2 out, later 1 in, 3 out for every new regulation. He even vowed to kill off health and safety culture for good.
And make sure that businesses feel that they can get on, they can plan, they can invest, they can grow, without feeling that they're going to be strangled by red tape and health and safety regulation.
And when the government weakened the rules, corporate greed filled the gap. Arconic, the US manufacturer behind Grenfell's cladding, knew its panels could burn. One internal email warned a fire involving them could kill 60 or 70 people. Arconic weren't allowed to sell those same panels for tall buildings in the US, but kept selling them in the UK. Celotex, owned by the French giant Saint-Gobain, made the foam insulation behind the cladding. They faked safety tests, swapping in fire-resistant materials during trials so that their product would pass. Kingspan produced a different insulation product that ended up on parts of the tower during refurbishment, and later admitted it had sold similar materials for years using falsified test data, with staff joking in text messages to each other that all we do is lie in here. Ryden, the main contractor, oversaw the refurbishment that turned Grenfell into a fire trap. They switched to cheaper flammable panels to, in their own words, pocket the difference. These weren't mistakes, they were decisions, made in a deregulated system that rewards cost-cutting over safety. By 2017, the government's own fire safety guidance, approved document B, was still vague and outdated. Experts had warned for years it was not fit for purpose. And then, in the early hours of the 14th of June, a fire started on the 4th floor of Grenfell Tower, while most residents were asleep. It burned for 60 hours. 72 people died. The inquiry's conclusion was blunt. These deaths were avoidable, the result of decades of government failure and systematic corporate dishonesty. You might think that after Grenfell, everything changed. It didn't. The same kinds of cladding kept catching fire here and abroad. In 2021, flames tore up New Providence Wharf in East London. A building still partially covered in ACM cladding with a polyethylene core, the same type of highly combustible panel used on Grenfell. The London Fire Brigade's report reignited fears that thousands of homes remain unsafe. Just months later, in Milan, the Torre di Moro tower burned from the ground to the roof. Investigators confirmed it used polyethylene core aluminium panels, almost identical to Grenfell's. Then, in Valencia in 2024, another high-rise burned so fast it engulfed the building in minutes, killing at least 10 people. Investigators found the same combustible materials were to blame. These fires prove what campaigners have been saying for years. The danger isn't isolated to one London tower block. It's built into the way we regulate, or don't regulate, the companies that make our homes. Meanwhile, the companies behind these products are doing better than ever. In 2024, Kingspan made 900 million euros, its most profitable year on record. Arconic remains a major cladding supplier. Saint-Gobain and Celotex still dominate the insulation market. And for years, all of them lobbied MPs and ministers, funded trade bodies, and influenced the very standards meant to regulate them. Internal documents show Kingspan even created a political engagement plan after Grenfell, a strategy for managing its reputation and shaping the rules that govern building safety. This is their spreadsheet of MPs they hoped to meet, many on the Housing Select Committee, and their talking points from their PR agency, arguing that combustible materials are no more dangerous than non-combustible materials when properly installed. Why this matters more than ever right now is the rapidly growing need for houses. The UK government insists it's learning lessons while preparing for a huge house building boom. Labour's 1.5 million home plan sounds like progress, but unless the rules change, it risks repeating the same mistakes. None of these companies have been barred nationally from new public sector work. And the tone from the top doesn't inspire confidence.
Taking out a chainsaw isn't quite my style, but we are stripping away red tape and bureaucracy.
And at last year's Labour conference, the new Secretary of State wore a hat that read Build Baby Build, slogans that say everything about the government's priorities and scream deregulation. Grenfell should have been the scandal that finally taught us that corporate greed and deregulation can kill. But 8.5 years later, almost nothing's changed. Many people argue that if you or I went out and killed someone, we'd go to prison. But when corporations make decisions that contribute to the deaths of 72 people, decisions shaped by cost-cutting, weak oversight, and deregulation, no one is held personally responsible. In fact, since I started making this video, new analysis found that some of the very companies we've spoken about have been awarded multi-million pound public contracts. And this isn't just about Grenfell, it's about every building people live in today, and the ones that haven't even been built yet. That's the real scandal of Grenfell. The tower is in the process of being demolished, but the system that made it possible stands strong still, and continues to shape where we live and how safe we are.